Good morning, church.
Good morning to everybody. Good to be back in God's house this morning. Anyway, I want to praise the Lord this morning. Today, I'm going to be preaching out of 2 Kings. If you want to turn there, 2 Kings, 19th chapter. And I want to talk about Hezekiah this morning. And you all, anybody that's been in church for any length of time knows the story of Hezekiah. But anyway, the king of Hezekiah. But I'm going to talk to him a little bit. I want to talk about the man, and I want to talk about the prayer. I want to talk about both those this morning because I believe those are both, essentially both are very important to talk about the man and the prayer. But, you know, I've kind of said it this way. We all know that our nation in this world is in a fix for quite a long time. It's been in a bad situation, you know, but you know what? Hezekiah prayed a prayer that saved the nation. He did do that. And you know what, brothers and sisters, I believe that the power of prayer is still that awesome today. It's still that powerful today. I believe that. You know, it said that his love endureth forever and his power is without end. I'm going to tell you this morning that God's love endures forever. I thank God for his love one day for saving a person like me one day. And I thank God for you one day. And you could have been the best person in the world. You could have been an awesome person in the community. You could have been all those things. But you still could have been lost and headed for a devil's hell. But you know what? Praise God this morning. He loved us enough. Everybody in here, he loved us enough to think enough of us to send his son to die upon a cross, that you and I could have the opportunity to have salvation in our lives. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something that we should be praising him about all the time? But anyway, if you found 2 Kings 19, I'm going to read verse 19, then I'm going to go down to verse 35. So if you would stand, and if you can this morning, for in honor of God's word. Verse 19, and it says this: "Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee," say this with me, these next three words, "save thou us," praise his name, "out of his hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, and even thou only." Now, chapter 19, verse 35. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." I'm going to tell you something right now, before I get started into it. "And it came to pass that night." I'm thankful that we serve a God that's not only God on the mountain, but he's God in the valley. Amen. Amen. And we serve a God that's not only the God, but he's God of the night. No matter what you're going through, whether it's a dead of night, whether it's in the middle of the day, we serve a God that's there. We serve that kind of a God. I'm going to ask all of you to pray for the sermon this morning. I want everybody to pray for it. Pray out loud. Pray as long as you want, but you pray for the sermon this morning. Let's go. Lord, I come, Lord, this morning. I come, Father, asking you, Lord, to be with us this morning. Be with this sermon this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, for that. That, Lord, you know, Lord, that you just have your way here this morning. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for that, Lord. Father, I ask you, Lord, now to be with every person in here, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would open the hearts and the minds. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you know, that the anointing would come, Lord. I pray for that this morning. And that, Lord, Father, that everyone, Lord, we could get out of this what is needed to get out of it, Lord. And we will praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you. Thank you. As I said, I'm going to concentrate on "save thou us." Save thou us. It was a prayer that he prayed that saved a nation. I'm assured in the fact this morning that God heard the sincere prayer of one individual, Hezekiah, and saved a nation. I look around this church here this morning, and my Bible tells me where two or three are gathered together.
in his name, he said that he would be within the midst. And can I tell you something today? He saved the nation from destruction. What can God do if every born-again believer, even just in this church this morning, with a sincere heart, would get a hold of God's throne this morning? Not only for our nation, Greg, but for our families, for our neighbors, for our co-workers. What power could be released? Because I know there are people in this church this morning that can get a hold of the throne room of God this morning and can reach Him in prayer. Praise His name this morning. I know that. And you know that what also inspired me about Hezekiah, I want to talk about the man a little bit. He never let how he was raised determine how his life would be ended up. You know that? Let me say that again. He never let how he was raised or how his family was or how his dad was determined how he was going to live his life as a king. King Ezra was Hezekiah's father. To say he was a rascal would be just putting it mildly. To say he was a heathen would be just putting it mildly. To say that he was very, very wicked man, he was very, very wicked man. When Hezekiah rose above it all, he said the Bible says this about him. He rose above all that. Let me tell you a little bit about his dad. His dad committed child sacrifice with his brothers and some of his family. He would take and make his brothers walk through the fire and committed sacrifice with them. He went to temples of the heathens, and when he went to the temples of the heathens, he worshiped other gods. But can I tell you this morning, Hezekiah rose above it all. I want to give you hope this morning. I want to tell you, I don't know where your life is at or where you've come from this morning. What you did in your past life, if Jesus Christ has saved your soul, you don't have to stay in the pigsty anymore. You don't have to stay there. I don't care if divorce has touched your family. I don't care if drugs and alcohol has touched your family. I don't care what it is has touched your family. You don't have to stay in the pigsty anymore. Because praise God, my Bible tells me, behold, all things become new through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to be like your family. Hezekiah wasn't like his family. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of your testimony. It says this about Hezekiah. There was 350 years Judah was a nation. There was 19 kings and one queen in that time. And it says this about Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like unto him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. I'm telling you, the man didn't let what happened in his family keep him down. And I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to be like that. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I thank God this morning that He saved my soul. And can I tell you something this morning? He can save your soul if you're not saved here this morning. He can save you. Your family history doesn't have to affect your future. Ezekiel 18:20 says this, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquities of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquities of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." It's up to you this morning. It's up to you if the Lord is dealing with you. It's up to you this morning. You know what? If God has put the Holy Spirit of convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon your life, you have a choice this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, I'm going to say it again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Because old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Belinda, when I got saved, all things become new. All things become new. I wasn't like I was. And just to show you that God has a sense of humor, He called me to preach one day. And I am thankful for what He does. God used this young man. Hezekiah was only 25 whenever he became king over Judah. He used him to bring a measure of revival to that nation. He tore down everything that was contrary to God's will. Another thing about Hezekiah, the Bible says this about him. He did that which was right. Man, if we had every leader in this nation with that kind of determination, Patty, to do what was right, we wouldn't have to have one law in this country. We wouldn't have to have the things that we have. If we had leaders that had only a desire to do that which was right. Listen, where their only desire would be to do what was right in the sight of God, things would totally change. And there just wouldn't be incremental changes. Things would totally change in this nation in which we live. If we had leaders that sought to do right. But be aware, if you or anyone else decides to follow Christ, listen to this. The devil isn't going to like it. He won't like it. You see, when Hezekiah decided he was going to do things God's way, God began to bless him. And the devil and his minions didn't like it. And all hell come against him. You know what my Bible tells me? The enemy showed up at his gate. I'm going to tell you something, Christian and non-Christian, if you're lost here this morning and you decide, you know, that Jesus Christ, you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, the devil and his minions aren't going to like it. And you know what? Don't believe any preacher, any teacher that tells you that your life will be a bed of roses from there on out, because they are wrong. They are wrong. We live in a sin-filled world. We live in a world where things happen, where cancer happens to good people. We live in a world where things happen to good people all the time. It's because we live in a sin-filled world. And can I tell you something else too that I've been studying on a little bit? You know, one time God was going to put Satan over charge of this world. Matter of fact, he did. But guess who he made instead? He made us. And you guess what we did? We fumbled the ball. We fumbled it. And you know what happened from that point on? It said sin came into the world. And you know what? If you're looking out here in this world and you look at it and you see all that the world tries to make out that is right, well, you know what? We got to love like this. We got to do. Listen to me. Don't believe them, because I'm here to tell you today that's because that's the world's vision of what's right and wrong. Sue, God has the vision of what's right and wrong. He has the word about what's right and wrong. Don't listen to what the world tries to push across, which is right and wrong. I threw that in there for free. But here I'm telling you this morning, all hell will come up against you. The Assyrian army come up against him. And you know what? They told him they were going to destroy the city, they were going to destroy the people, and they were going to destroy the land. Can I say this morning, the devil hasn't changed. Christian, if you decide that you're going to follow God even more, if you're going to try to dig into His Word more, if you're going to try to pray more, if maybe you're going to fast once in a while, can I tell you something? The devil and his minions don't like it. And guess who's going to show up at your door? Guess who's going to show up at your gates? He hasn't changed any. The devil will show up there. And listen, listen, if you think the devil is going to step back and then let this church do his will, he's not. He's going to come after this church. If you think he's going to let us go to reach out to this community and try to reach out to the lost, I'm telling you, he will come against this church. And he has come against it in the last few years. I'm just telling you. If you're lost and you accept Christ into your heart, I'm telling you, he's going to come after you. If you're a Christian and God has been dealing with you to draw closer, he's going to come after you. Without showing up at the gate, you're sadly mistaken. The devil will be there. He will show up at your gate one day. That's what he's going to do. Hell doesn't like it whenever you stomp on his territory. Can I have an amen? Because brothers and sisters, as Christians, when we go out to a lost and dying world, we're going out into his world. And you know what? The Bible tells me that the fields are ripe for harvest. But I'm telling you, the devil doesn't like it whenever we go out into his territory. He doesn't like it. Folks, I hope you understand. You make your own mind to do things God's way. That's what matters. The devil and his minions won't like it, period. And let me add this this morning. The closer the nation gets to the nation of Israel, the devil is not going to like it anymore either. I'm going to tell you something. Mind my words. We have a president in there now. Whether you voted for him or not, at least he stands with Israel. The devil doesn't like it. There's going to be things happen. Just hold on. He doesn't like it. Just hold on. Because brothers and sisters, he'll show up at the gate. Folks, I hope you understand that this morning. The devil didn't have to worry about that the last 4 years. He didn't have to worry about it a bit. And I believe with all my heart, the closer we get to Israel, the more that he's going to come against us. It won't be long until he's showing up at the gates of America. Now, Hezekiah was dealing with the enemy. He was dealing with the enemy at the gate. The threat was real. The Assyrians' king meant business. He intended to destroy Jerusalem, like I said, the nation. He intended to destroy the people, and he intended to destroy the land. He also claimed that God was powerless to save them. This is how arrogant he was. He proclaimed, you know why? Because he went through all these other nations. Those nations that were made of stone, those nations that were made of wood, those nations that were made of all different things. And you know what happened? Whenever he went through, he took their false gods, Greg, and he burned them. That's what he did. But now he's coming against the only true God. He comes up against them and he tells them, I believe in the previous chapter, and you know what? I'll do the same thing with your God. Can I say this morning? It's not if, but when the devil shows up at your gate, he's going to whisper that kind of stuff in your ears too. He's going to lie. He's going to tell you, you know what? God ain't going to help you. He won't help you. He won't answer your prayer. God won't answer your prayer. He said, he'll even whisper in your ear sometimes, Larry, that you're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. That's what he'll whisper in your ear. That's what the devil does. Or he might as well just give up. Anybody in here ever had the devil whisper in your ear and said you might as well just give up? Quit praying for it. It ain't going to happen anyway. You can raise your hand. We've all been there. We've all been there. I've been there as a preacher. You don't know how many times I've come down out of that pulpit just whipped like a dog, whipped like a little pup. Because you know what? The devil's whisper in my ear. You know what? They didn't want to hear that. They don't like that. You know what? That's what the devil does. And that's what he was doing. The threat was real and it was repeated over and over again. Can I tell you something this morning? Just because the devil whispers it in your ear one time, don't think that he won't come back again and try to do it again. It's over and over and over again. Hezekiah, I'm coming after you, and there's nothing you can do. And I can tell you this morning, there are going to be times in your life you're going to think the devil's coming after you, and there's nothing you can do. Can I tell you this morning, we serve a God that is more powerful than anything that the devil can throw out there. Folks, the doctor gives you a bad report. The enemy will start in. He'll start in. Nothing God can do about that. You lose your job. You know what? There's nothing you can do about that. The devil will whisper in your ear. The enemy will start to see God doesn't care. The spouse walks out on you. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. God didn't care for you. You see, I've heard it all down through my ministry. I've heard it all. I've heard people come to me and say the same thing over and over again. The enemy will whisper in your ear, you're done. You're not worthy. Our enemy will whisper fear and despair in your life. That's what he wants to whisper in your ear. And it seems like your mind is enslaved by these thoughts. I can tell you, the mind's a powerful thing. And when the devil starts working in it and trying to make it out like, you know what, and making you start doubt God's word, starting to fear, he's starting you down. He's starting to enslave you. Amen? He wanted to enslave the nation of Judah. That's what he wanted to do. And if it's not, he'll come after your spouse and your kids. How many of you in here have ever had maybe he can't get to you, but he'll come after your kids. He'll come after your family. Oh, yeah. He wants to make you doubt and he'll come after them. Listen, even though he wasn't raised in a godly home, Hezekiah knew where his help come from. Can I tell you this morning, do you know where your help comes from this morning? It's not from me. It's not from Greg. It's not from Ken. It's not from anybody else in this church. As much as I love my wife, my help doesn't come from my wife. She's my helpmate, but when it gets right down to it, she can pray for me. But my help, I got to understand, my help comes from the Lord. Amen. It says it right here. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's what he is. Listen, if you're facing trouble here this morning, listen to me. Your help doesn't come from anybody else except from him. Hezekiah got a hold of the throne of God. And can I tell you this morning, I want to say it again, there's people in this church that can get a hold of the throne of God. And there's people in this church that God can get a hold of this morning. It goes both ways. I've been praying. I have prayed. And you know what? The power of God has failed, Rodney. Have you ever prayed so much that the power of God falls on you when you're in your prayer closet? And all that you can do is just cry. All that you can do is just praise Him. That's when you reach the throne room of God. That's when you reach it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. That's what he says. Hezekiah prayed a prayer that saved a nation. He saved a nation. I can imagine this about Hezekiah, honey. He received that letter in the mail. And that received that letter from the guy that brought it to him. He spread it out and he looked at it and he started reading it. And I could just see the tears coming down his face, starting to go down his face, God. And I can, you know what else I can see he did with that letter? I can see him rolling that letter up underneath his arm. And he took off and he went to church. I never did understand, Debbie, why people, whenever things start going wrong in their life, the first thing they do is quit church. The first thing they do is they just quit going to church. I'm going to tell you something right now. Praise God. I want to be around God's people. I want to be around people that can reach heaven's throne when things are going wrong in my life. I want people that can reach God's throne, Tommy, able to pray for me, able to pray for you. That's what I want. That's why he went to church. And I hear Hezekiah telling them, as they ask him, where are you going? I'm going to church. I'm going to God's house. That's what he said, I'm going to God's house. And I'm going up there, and what I hear from God before, religion couldn't help him. Can I tell you this morning, religion can't help you. Religion can't help you. Can I tell you something else? Rick, denominations can't help you. Denominations can't help you. Can I tell you something else? Listen to me. Listen. The doctor can't help you. The doctor can give you medicines and do this, but when healing comes, it comes from God. It comes from God. When friends can't help you, my Bible tells me the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man, what's it do? Say it with me. Availeth much. Availeth much. When the enemy's at the gate, I want to be in God's house with God's people. Can I have an amen this morning? That's where I want to be. And I love this. The Bible tells us this about Hezekiah also. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and listened to this and spread it before the Lord. I believe when you go to pray to God, you be specific. I've said that before. He spread the letter before the Lord and he told the Lord what this Assyrian king was saying about the nation. He spread it out there and he said, we need to get specific about it. I believe prayer should be specific. Remember over Mark 10. With blind Bartimaeus. Listen to this. In verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? What will, how many here believe Jesus knew just exactly what was needed? How many of you believe that? Well, he's God. I believe he knew. Why did he ask him? Belinda, he wanted him to be specific. I want you to tell me what you want. What do you want? He wanted to receive his sight. Can I tell you something here this morning? If you're blind spiritually, if you're blind spiritually, come to this altar and tell God what you want to do. Lord, I want to receive spiritual eyes. I want you to save my soul. That's what he wants. He wants you to be specific. Be specific about what God wants you to pray for this morning. Of a truth. Listen, verse 17. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria have destroyed other nations and their lands. He's just telling him, God, I know what this king has done to other lands and other nations. And they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the works of man's hands, wood, stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hands. And Hezekiah finished his prayer this way, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. There's only one God. Only one God. The only begotten. He's got one son, the only begotten son. And he has the Holy Spirit. That's the three right there, the Trinity. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, brothers and sisters. We got to have all three of them. Amen? In other words, he told him, God, I'm hanging my hat on the fact that you are God and God alone. I can look at everybody in this church and I can tell you this for a fact. You put your trust in the God and God alone this morning. You do that. You put your trust. Thus, other nations' gods were made of wood and stone. Not our God. He's a God that can hear. The psalmist said it best, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. When the enemy's at the gate, we need to get a hold of the true God. Not a beer bottle. Not drugs. Not all the other stuff out here that the world tries to make out. Listen, this is what you need. No, we need to get a hold of the true God. That's what we need to get a hold of. He went and got a hold of the true God. Romans 11:36, for of him, through him, and to him are all things. That's the true God. Hezekiah said he was talking to the one who dwelleth between the cherubims. That's the God that we got to get a hold of. You know, back then, they couldn't go into the holies of holies. Guess what happened on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified? The veil was rent. And praise his name this morning, we can go to the holies of holies with our petitions this morning. Amen. Absolutely. We can get a hold of the one true God. We can do that. Praise his name this morning. And it says, and Hezekiah knew what to do when the enemy was at the gate. He knew what to do. And in 35, it tells us what God answered. And I said, I read it earlier, when it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out. Didn't say angels, said the angel. One went out amongst the camp and killed 185,000. 185,000. Can I tell you right now? Can I tell you? That same God, that the God that did that is still the same God today. What you're facing today, the enemy's at the gate. I don't know. The Lord gave me the message to preach that here this morning. As Jamie says something, sometimes you worry if you're just preaching to the choir. But sometimes the choir needs to hear things. Sometimes the choir needs to hear it too. The enemy may be at your gate this morning. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. God, you know. But can I tell you something? If the enemy's at the gate, don't go running off to anything else. Do what Hezekiah did. Lord, save thou us. Save me, Lord. Save my family this morning, Lord. Because we serve that kind of a God this morning. Let me ask you this morning. Is the enemy at the gate? For if he is, let's come up here and pray this morning. Let's come and pray this morning. If you have a need this morning, come and pray. If you have a need for salvation this morning, come and pray. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. All right, Julie, let's go ahead. Let's stand if we would, please.